Let me give you some information, ladies. Monday, Sunday, was Kaf Aleph Adar. It was the outside of Rav Elimelech. I was there. Poor Shav, poor Shav. I was there. I was within 2 meters of the ceiling. It was so crowded, someone climbed onto the ceiling and sucked on the cage at the top. Yeah, just wanted to share that. So it was Kaf Aleph Adar, which means this Sunday will be Kaf Chet Adar, which means the day you get back from a Ramadan. Woo! Woo! And a Merry Christmas to you. Let me explain to you the various minhagim of Islam on the last days of the Chag. That means this Friday will be busy bee time in the Rabbah, busier than the other Fridays, but thank God so far it's been very peaceful. And towards the end of Ramadan, they have an all-night mishmar at Har HaBayit. I actually think we're not going to be here. I think you're not going to be here. And then they have a long holiday for a few days, so I think you're actually going to miss it all. You're not going to be in town. At the same time, the Israeli Maccabim, as they're known, destroyed an Iranian diplomat in Syria a couple of days ago when we flattened the Iranian consul in Syria. So they're very angry with us, in the same way that Himmler was angry with us in October 1943, because he hadn't been angry with us beforehand. When he created Treblinka, Sobibor and Belzec, he'd been very happy with us then. He was angry with us and angry with us now. Oh, Skoyak, where have you been? I'm out. I don't have my phone with me, girls. Yeah. So they're doing what they do best, they're terrorizing. Now, this means that if you are an addict to WhatsApp, you've got lots of very wild messages over the last few days that the Iranians are going mad and they can do this and they can do that and then they're doing that. Doesn't mean they're not going to do it, but they could actually do it anywhere. Teaneck, for example, they could do it in Teaneck. Teaneck's having a great time at the moment. I saw our good friend Ed Stiltzer on the TV being interviewed the other day. They could do it anywhere. They could try. We have an army. The point of terror is to terrorize. I ask you again, ladies, not to listen to rumors. If you have a question, you can feel free. Text me now, okay? You won't bother Shane so much. She's going with you to a lover. You can text me, not in Night Seder, because we wouldn't do that and I won't reply. But text me if you, but don't just believe everything people send you. Like some parents do. Okay, don't believe everything, because a lot of it is, the purpose is to terrorize. There is no reason whatsoever that we shouldn't continue as normal. We take our information from Mossad. Mossad takes their information from the Secret Service. And doesn't mean that we know everything, as October the 7th proved very well. But at the same time, we're certainly not changing anything while these days go by. And also, we are not being complacent, which means that if you're in the Rava for Shabbos, you know, midday till 2 o'clock, be very, very busy. A lot of security here as well. And just be careful where you are, you know. Don't hang around in open areas, you know, which is unnecessary. But otherwise, I have no real information at all about anything. And therefore, just carry on. And when a president says in front of the whole world, don't, you know from now on that he's lying. Working out. The other thing that's really important is that you take your chametz very, very seriously. Because if you don't, then number one, you transgress an Issur Torah. Number two, you can't eat the chametz after Pesach. Okay, so if you do not sell your oatmeal, you did not put it in a place where it's meant to be sold, it will not be sold. And then it's chametz she'avar alav ha-pesach, and then you cannot eat it. It's for Dravan, you cannot eat it after Pesach. That's why you have to be careful. There are three measures really to get rid of your chametz. One is bedikat chametz, which we do the night before the last time you're here. So the last time you're here is going to be Motzei Shabbos, like Rav Shane said this morning, but Motzei Shabbos. It was the night before. It would be the night before with a bracha. And you have the candle, go around, look for. Doesn't matter if you don't have 10 pieces. It's not ma'akev for 10 pieces of bread. That really isn't. It's not a bracha levatal if you don't find chametz, right? It's al bedikat chametz, al bi'ur chametz. And so so it's very important. You know that you have the bittul, which you say, two different bittuls. The first bittul, which I didn't send you yet, but I will send you. You have the first bittul, which gets rid of all the chametz that you have seen, that you have not seen, okay? And then you have the second bittul that you do when you're burning the chametz, which is all the chametz you have not seen. Okay, that, whatever the case, you don't do that till the morning. You don't do that till the morning of Pesach. And the third, which covers everything, is mechirat chametz, but only if you have, it's in a labeled place and has been sold according to the labeled place. If it's not in a labeled place, the mechirat doesn't count, and then the chametz is yours on Pesach, and then it's a problem, okay? When we come back, please God, and if you're here for Pesach, as Am Yisrael should be here for Pesach, then you will have to look for something else on the restaurants after Pesach that they sold their chametz. Above and beyond the Teudat Kashrut, you need to be sure that they sold their chametz, okay? If they didn't sell their chametz, you can't eat them, you can't. And just because it's a full place, it doesn't mean last year, I went with my wife about 6 weeks after Pesach. We went to a restaurant in the Gush, and it was 6 weeks after Pesach, and we're sitting there. And I said to my wife, I haven't got a Mechirat Pesach light sign. So it's a full place in the Gush. I went up to her, I said to the waitress, girl your age really, and I said, where's your Mechirat Chametz Teudah? And she said, what's that? So I said, give me the number of the mashgiach. So we phoned the mashgiach just to make sure they thought they were giving out pita and bread or whatever to. So any place can not do it or take it for granted. You have to ask for the Teudah of Mechirat Chametz. That's in any store that you're buying food for, unless you're buying from, what's his name, Sammy, because he's not Jewish, so he doesn't have to say his Chametz. Okay, but Sammy is just around the corner, Orachai, right? However, I would check the sell-by date. So they tell me. All right. How long? It depends what. In a regular store, 3 months, I'll say 2-3 months. The real canuck is, and I didn't realize this till a few years ago because I didn't used to fly in the spring. And I started flying in the spring a bit. And I don't drink it anymore either. But someone who buys liquor in a duty-free store in Israel at the airport, they don't sell their chametz, which means you probably could never buy whiskey in those stores because it doesn't go off. They don't sell it on bulk. I reckon half a year. You know, there is apparently one in D4 that sells his chametz. That's what I saw on the internet. I even think about it. Someone pointed it out to me once. But they don't sell their chametz, and it's full of chametz alcohol. Full of chametz, beer. So there were things like that. You'd have to wait for a while. A regular grocery store, I don't know how long, maybe a month and a half, 2 months. Of course, bread is very unlikely. Bread is made, you know, they don't take it out of the freezer. But pizza, they could. Yeah.
Just make sure this is only if the owner is Jewish.
But the owner?
This is only if the owner is Jewish.
Yeah, of course. That's why in Chutzpah, it's not a problem. You go to Raj after Pesach and you just get everything. It's not a problem at all because he's a Hindu. And that's, I haven't got that halacha. Okay, I will do my best to share with you. I did not make that good. Yes. Yes, of course. It's your apartment. You are a resident of the Rabbah. You live there. Yes. If you're leaving before other girls in your apartment, so you do your room. But if you're leaving before the night before Pesach, then without a bracha. Everything the same, but without a bracha. Okay? If you have questions, you can WhatsApp me. Yeah. Yeah. What?
Everyone said to someone, like, can you sell my comments?
it is okay, though they're not selling your chalitz anyway. Rabbi isn't selling your chalitz. Your rabbi already made him a shaliach to sell your chalitz. The rabbi in the shul isn't selling your chalitz. We made him a shaliach. He then goes as a shaliach to the Beis Din and they sell the chalitz.
Oh, can you sell the kitchen? They've sold the kitchen.
Well, it's not the reason that it's not advisable is if you sell your catering to a goy, the kavanah would have to toy all the woman after Pesach. Not sure we want to do that. Or the chametz in.
Yeah,
the chametz in.
It doesn't want to go fast.
Yes.
That's
fine. So again, he said, I assume they probably didn't.
It's just one cup.
I assume it's a cup. Whatever's in that cup, that's what I said before. If you leave it out of that cup, it's also. You have to designate a place. So we tell this place or this house. But if you put someone else in this house, it's not sold. And then the whole thing's a The whole Mechira Chametz was really created for shopkeepers. Because as I'm about to explain, people didn't buy in bulk. And that's why, what does the first Mishnah in Pesachim say? First words of the Mishnah in Pesachim say, Only your Dalet, the night before Pesach, we check for Chametz. Not a month before, 2 months before. Why? Because they didn't have Chametz. They didn't have fridge. They didn't have a freezer. They didn't store food. And therefore, there was no need to look a long time for food. We buy in bulk and we deep freeze, and therefore we spend a lot of time cleaning. Yeah.
We.
Are you speaking in French? No, just put comments on the phone. Okay. Questions? Yes. You're not going to use?
I'm not going to use my keyboard to be able to present the pasta for this up. Should I put comments on the drawing jar?
No, it's better not to do it. Just clean them. That's it. There's no comments. No, we don't have to worry about comments. I know I'm missing cooking.
So I shouldn't put comments on the
drawing. No, because then you solve the keyboard and then you can toy away. Yeah. Yeah.
Did I just want to put these on the drawing right after the keyboard comments?
No, the Biur Chametz has to be Erev Pesach.
Okay, so can I get someone
in the You do wherever you are. You can do wherever you are, as long as there's no Chametz in your house. We'll all be here anyway, and you'll have Chametz in the Biur Chametz. And that goes your man with that. Okay, gefilte. You can have gefilte on Pesach. No problem with carp. The minhag is to take less of a kazayit in each piece and hide 10 pieces. You don't need to halakhically. Some people think it's a battle of atali. If I make the bracha and I don't find chametz. Theoretically, if you don't want to keep minhag Yisrael, if it's not important, whatever, for whatever reason, it's not ma'akev if you don't put out pieces of bread. The point is to look for chametz.
So if I do
b'digah chametz,
what?
Huh?
Like if I do b'digah chametz,
yeah, but you have to look seriously. And seriously means, ladies, in the places that there's never chametz, you don't look. But in pockets of jackets, in little bags or whatever, I once had the most tremendous b'digah chametz. I found bread in my kid's bag. In B'dikat Chametz, it was such simcha. Never ever found Chametz in B'dikat Chametz. I found a sandwich, it was like, say halal. We found Chametz. Yeah. It's my wife's been cleaning for Pesach since Tu Bishvat. In a leap year. Don't go there. All right. We didn't start yet, did we? Did we start already?
Yeah.
We started already.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I will do my best to don't get me coughing now, ladies. I can beat you. All right. I want to give you my idea on Pesach, and I want to, at the same time, apply it to everything that's going on as we get towards Pesach. I've said this a couple of times to you. I said it over Purim as well, that Nisan is the beginning of our national year. It's the beginning of our national year. It's Mamash Rosh Hashanah. We don't feel it. I don't know why we don't feel it. I don't know why we don't make a fuss about it, but that's what it is. So I want to... Are you quite finished, everyone? I feel like I'm a doctor and I'm listening to my surgery. Any more coughing, sneezing, anything? Thank you. Quick sneeze. So I'm walking around Krakow. A few days ago, I'm walking around Krakow, and those of you who've been there, you know, and the people I was with hadn't been there before, a lot older than you, and you got on the walls there, you know, Israeli food and cholent and kugel, and they're asking the same questions that you ask. So, well, these are kosher restaurants? And I said, no, they're not kosher restaurants. They're not kosher restaurants. So what is it? So I saw in my book that I asked the question, what is Jewish food? What is Jewish food? Now, without that introduction, most people would say cholent, they would say kugel. If they were Sephardi, they would say adafina. If they were Israeli, they would say hummus and pita, and they might say falafel. And each person would say whatever they said. If you come from deep Poland, you might say borscht. There are lots of different types of food. The thing is, because we have been spreading galut for so many years, these aren't Jewish foods. These are foods that we have brought back with us from galut. In the same way that the music is music from the galut. And if you ever listen to good Russian music, where are my Ukrainians, my Russians, they're good Russian music, you'll think it's Hasidic. Because of you and the dancing, it's Hasidic, because Hasidim grew up in Eastern Europe. And the clothes, ladies, Hasidic clothes were not created by the Baal Shem Tov. Hasidic clothes were the clothes of aristocracy in Poland. That's what they used to wear. As when we've been in Galut, we picked up a lot of different clothes. It always upsets me when I see Sephardim with a black hat and black clothes on. We go, why? Why are you wearing colors of Morocco? Why are you wearing black? Why is everyone dressed up as Al Capone? Like, well, that's not, I don't know, Vino didn't dress like that. He didn't wear black. He was an Arab. He dressed like an Arab. And because we've been here for 3,500 years, Mrs. Grandma Mustafa. And so that's not Jewish food. Now, what's interesting about cholent, because everyone eats cholent, even if you're Ashkenazi or Sephardi, everyone has cholent. Why? It is a Jewish food, but it's practical Jewish food. Why? Because if you want to eat hot food on Shabbos morning, it has to be a stew, because otherwise it will burn. And therefore, Sephardim and Ashkenazim have cholent, because that's the only way you can eat something hot in the morning on the Shabbos. So it's also not a Jewish food, it's halacha food. As far as I'm aware, there is only one real Jewish food, matzah. Matzah is the only real Jewish food. And in fact, that Shabbat Zachor was a very sad day for me because I had my last piece of matzah. I don't eat matzah for 30 days before Pesach. So I love matzah. So I had my last piece of matzah as Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos morning. And I knew I can't have matzah. And I finished the matzah. People bring me matzah after Pesach because they don't want it anymore. And I eat matzah all through the year. The question, therefore, is why is matzah the Jewish food? Now, if you were good girls in school, you'll put your hands up and you'll say, because we came out of Egypt so quickly, we didn't have time to let the bread rise That's what the pasuk says. The problem is that a chapter beforehand we were told to eat matzah on Pesach, and we hadn't left Egypt yet. We hadn't left Egypt yet when we're told to eat matzah on Pesach. At the end, we're told they didn't have time to, and the bread didn't rise, and so on and so forth. But we were already commanded to eat the matzah before that reality actually happened. That's one question. The other question that I have is as follows. The other question I have, we eat in a sukkah on Sukkot, correct? So we have lots of different minhagim in the room. How many people in this room have the minhag of burning their house down Erev Sukkot so that they can eat in a sukkah? Because we have to eat in a sukkah, right? And you're not allowed to eat inside, you're not allowed to sleep inside, so we should burn the house down. Good for insurance, unless we do it every year. What a silly comment. So why do we burn our chametz? Why can't we just eat matzah? Why do we need to burn chametz? Why do we need to burn chametz? Why do we need to search for chametz? Why don't we just eat matzah? So interesting questions about matzah, right? Number one is matzah is around even before we leave Egypt. And number two, so let me eat matzah. But why do I have to burn chametz? It is ridiculous to suggest you would burn your house down there at Sukkot. So why do I have to burn my chametz? Why do I have to destroy my chametz? So I want to come around answering that by explaining what the chag really is. One of the challenges when I wrote the book Kiva Mo'ed, one of my challenges was to try. It was the first class I ever gave in the school. It was called the Jewish Calendar Year, Magal Shana, and I gave that class here for a number of years. I gave it, and then eventually I wrote it down, made a book. And one of the questions I asked in the book was, how are we meant to understand a chag? Now, what do I mean? What I mean is, if I say, what are preparations? Tell me now. We'll do a Rav Beilish here where you have to participate. What do you have to do in the preparation? If you're at home now, you are at home now, but if you were with the family now in your temporary abode in exile, what is expected of you at home? No. Clean. Everyone's got to clean, right? I clean the fridge. Big job, the fridge. It's a day's work cleaning the fridge. Because chametz isn't butter, right? So you've got to make sure there's not a crumb because it could fall into and then you're in trouble. So it's big job, the fridge is my big job. The day I do the fridge, listen to a lot of Rabbi Weinberger on that day. It's a long day of Rabbi Weinberger. Cleaning and cleaning. That's the essence of our Pesach. So when I talk about Pesach, you're talking about cleaning. But it's got nothing to do with Etzem the Chag. What's Etzem the Chag of Pesach? What do you have to do on Pesach? No, you have to, if the Mikdash is built now, what do we have to do? Korban Pesach. Where do you eat Korban Pesach? In Yerushalayim. What happens if you don't eat Korban Pesach? You're chayv karet. There's only two positive commandments in all of Torah, that if you don't do them, you're chayav karet. One is Brit Milah, and the other is Korban Pesach. So what does that mean in a positive way? It means that if I have to bring Korban Pesach, I can and I can only eat Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim, what's the mitzvah of a real Pesach in a regular year in the time of the Mikdash? What's the mitzvah? The Mitzvah is all of Am Yisrael is in the Rova. How's the Mitzvah? All of Am Yisrael is in the Old City, not the Rova, all four quarters. Now, you know what it's like here during Elul. So put a lamb on everyone's back and see what you think it's like then. Not everyone has to go to the Harabai because only a representative of the family has to offer up the Korban Pesach. But everyone has to eat the Korban Pesach. So what's going on in the Old City? Night of Pesach, everywhere in the Old City, is barbecues. You shech the Pesach Erev Pesach, and on the evening of Pesach, all around the Old City, all you can see is roasting lamb. And that's what people are doing. And that's what Seder night is. And we don't have an iota of that experience. For many years, we did Say the Night with the Debo family. And the Debo family. Dr. Kevin's husband's a very creative person. So he came up with an idea once that we would buy a lamb and bring it in during Seder night. And the idea developed to the degree that we actually asked a price for a lamb. And at the time, this was 15, 20 years ago, he wanted about 1,000 shekel deposit for the lamb, and we would bring the lamb back. We just wanted to bring the lamb in and, you know, and get the children to ask questions. That's a pretty good question to ask. We kind of backed down because when I suggested it in theory to my wife, I got one of those looks. I've cleaned the house for 2 months and you're bringing in a lamb to the house on Seder night. So we didn't pursue it, but that's what Pesach is. None of us have that Pesach experience. If you had that Pesach experience, what would you understand Pesach to be? All of Am Yisrael in Yerushalayim. It's Yom HaAtzmaut. It's Mamash Independence Day. All of Am Yisrael in Yerushalayim having Korban Pesach. You know, there are a few exceptions. That's why Pesach Sheni. But on the whole, all of Am Yisrael in Yerushalayim having Korban Pesach. So imagine that experience. That's a very different experience to anything any of us ever had on Pesach. We have relatives, Rael. We ask questions. We do this. We do that. But we never do that. So what do I want to say? And I'm going to go back to the other question in a second. You must, you should, or you can, I do, look at this night as a night of independence of the Jewish people. That's a celebration. Remember, after Leil HaSeder, and if you're in Israel, you see there's only one night of Leil HaSeder. You don't have two nights. It's only called so you have two nights. Only meant to be one night of Leil HaSeder. I enjoyed two nights myself, but I didn't cook. So we have one night of Leil HaSeder, and after that, Pesach is a chag, right? In fact, we don't even say full Hallel for the rest of Pesach. We only say whole Hallel on the first day of Pesach. And in Israel, you'll see they say Hallel in Shul. The Minhag of the Shulchan Aruch say Hallel in Shul during Maariv on the night of Pesach. Why? The difference between the night of Pesach and the rest of the chag, because the night of Pesach is a celebration of the independence of the Jewish people. I am convinced that's pshat. That's what it is. It's a celebration of the independence of the Jewish people. And therefore, what do I try to do when I look at Leil HaSeder? What I try to do when I look at Leil HaSeder is, what are the messages that I should be giving to my people, that I should be emphasizing on the night of independence? In irreligious countries, in Israel too, the way most people celebrate Independence Day is by showing military strength or just drinking beer and having a barbecue. But you'll see from what I'm about to tell you that when the halacha tells you to celebrate the independence of the Jewish people, there are fundamental messages that have to be relayed on this night that will reflect the independence of the Jewish people. And I think that is what this day is. There's no other day like this. It's the evening, all of the preparation. It's all about the coming together as a nation for the beginning of the national year. Now, that's why the first thing, we should be looking at matzah, not simply as we didn't have time. That's one reason. But as our national food. Why would it be our national food? I'm not going to spend too much time on this because this is an idea that many of you have heard many, many times, but I can connect it to Elat and have done so on previous occasions. What does the Maharal say about matzah? The Maharal says about matzah, the matzah is the simplest form of food. It is flour and water. You made matzah this week, right? You made matzah, halachic matzah. It's kosher, the matzah you made. Now, what is significant about matzah? Why did Rav Shaims and Rav Yotam go around shouting, quickly, 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 blah, 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 blah. Pressure, 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 pressure. Why? Because, excuse me. Shame I didn't have a cough on Purim. I could have done Haman that way. Why? Because chametz, ladies, is not kosher. Hey, matzah is not kosher if it cannot become chametz. Did you know that? If matzah cannot become chametz, it's not kosher lePesach. You can't use it as a mitzvah for matzah. It has to have the potential to become chametz. And therefore, if whatever you put in this bowl cannot be chametz, it's not kosher. So it has to have the potential to become chametz, but you have to stop it from becoming chametz, either by doing it within a certain period of time, which is also, by the way, that's the difference between mahadrin matzah and not mahadrin matzah. You know what they do with mahadrin matzah? They dismantle the machinery every 18 minutes and clean everything, because they're worried that there'll be certain pieces of dough that got caught in the machinery and it will become chametz, and then it's butter anyway. But it's a chumet. Erev Pesach is batul b'shishim, but it's only on Pesach it's not batul b'shishim. But they dismantle all of that. That's why it's five times the price. It's mahadrin matzah, because they dismantle the machinery every 18 minutes because they don't want the dough to become chametz. So the whole process of matzah, the whole point of matzah, is to make sure it doesn't become chametz. Is what? What's the word? It's control. It's control. Matzah is about control. Now, if you came to someone, Erev Pesach, and you said, this is our festival of freedom, what should we eat, bread or matzah? And this is what matzah is, and this is what bread is, most people will say bread. That was the first and last mistake I ever made making challah. When I read in the Mishnah Berurah, when I was doing smicha, that the Chofetz Chaim was very upset that people were buying from a bakery and said it's a pogrom in Kavod Shabbos and people should be making their own challah. So I went home like a good boy and I said to my wife, Chofetz Chaim says you've got to make challah, so I'm making challah. Thing is, I never went to Chabad school. So when I made challah the size that I think it should look. Now, of course, challah rises, so I nearly ruined the oven. And that, I think, was the last time I made challah. Challah rises, right? So it rises and rises and rises. That seems to be a sign of opulence, of freedom, of richness. But we say, no, you eat matzah. So what's the message? This is our night of independence. What's the message? To be a Jew, the night, when you sit down, say the night this year, what is it to be a Jew? What does the Torah say? What is it to be a Jew? What defines me as being a Jew? The first thing is matzah, self-control. Self-control. Self-control creates freedom. If you cannot control yourself, if you have to go out to eat, if you have to sleep every time you're a bit tired, if you have to follow, if you have to smoke cigarettes till you get lung cancer, you're not in control. You're a slave. You're a slave to whatever your body demands of you. Control is the ability to say, this is what my body says, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what, obviously in a healthy way. I've got control. And the first message on this Seder night, which is Yom HaAtzmaut to the Jewish people, this is our food. Freedom, dafka, comes through self-control, not by letting everything go and not being able to discipline yourself and do what needs to be done. Just every time, you know, you just fall to your body. It's so annoying, the body, right? It's so limiting because it slows you down and makes you tired. I had to get up yesterday at 2 o'clock in Krakow because I had to get a flight to Warsaw, because I had to get a flight from Warsaw to Israel because I had to get to my son's seal. And it's like 10 o'clock last night. I've been awake for longer than normal. And I really want to enjoy my son's seal, because it's not often your children do a seal shas. And he's going in the army in a few weeks. And I wanted to enjoy it. And I had to really control myself. I was really tired. You know, I don't sleep on planes. I didn't have the fortune even of watching Jeremy sleep on plane because he wasn't with me. So I was just watching other people sleep on planes, and these other very front people sitting behind me who clearly have never been on a plane before and kept trying to see what happens when you push the seat in front of you forward again and again and again. That self-control of the body is just to keep going and keep going and keep going within. So that's our emblem, ladies. Matzah is our food. Self-control brings you freedom, the ability to discipline yourself, the ability to be in control of yourself, that mind over matter. You know this, ladies. I'll give you the negative, but I'm telling you it in the positive too. My grandfather, Alav Hashalom, he had cancer, his last cancer. He had cancer a few times. And I remember sitting with him. I remember I was 16 years old. I remember sitting with him on the couch in my mother's house, in our house, back in England, and he turned around to me. I'm not quite sure why he did this, and I was only 16, and he said to me, "You know I'm dying." And so I went to speak to my mum afterwards. He looked okay, and I knew he was sick. I didn't know he was dying. And my mum said, "Yeah, but he's got time." He was dead in 2 weeks. He decided he was going to die, and he died in 2 weeks. He just died. How do you do that? How do you do that? I mean, cancer grows at a certain rate, right? You can't just press a button and it grows quicker. So how do you do that? So it's mind over matter. But if you can do it in the negative, you can do it in the positive, right? You can. That's what Bikul Cholim is about. Bikul Cholim is if you can help someone's morale, if you can lift someone's morale, you can lift their mind over their pain, and you can give them more time. You can actually give them more time. That's what Bikul Cholim is about. It's not just a mitzvah to visit someone who's sick. Bikul Cholim, if you can raise the morale of a sick person, you can help them battle. Why? Because it's mind over matter. You might not cure the illness, though I believe the Japanese believe you can cure the illness with mind over matter. Someone told me that once, but I never really checked it. But you can you can certainly prolong it. So that's our first thing is matzah is how you feel when you're eating matzah. Understand that it's a statement. It's a statement. Our food is a statement of what we believe in. Which it has to be able to become chametz. You understand the principle here. If it can't become chametz, you're not controlling anything. You understand? So it can't become, it's not matzah. Matzah is only matzah if it can become chametz. What is the most problematic food on Pesach? It's matzah. Because if you don't make that's how Hasidim have the gebrachs, right? Because it goes back to the old days, really, when it was all handmade and they're worried about a bit of flour being left over, you put it in water and it's going to become chametz. But that's why you don't make matzah on Pesach. No one bakes matzah on Pesach. They've been baking it for 4 months already. No one makes matzah on Pesach. Why? Because it becomes chametz. But it's only matzah if it can become chametz and it's being controlled. So this is our chirut. My Rebbe once said to me that the Rasha turns around in the evening of Seder night and he says, what a waste of time. All these Kanakas, all these young people, they know everything. They've not opened up a sefer. They know everything. They understand everything. Not paid a bill. Nothing. And nothing in life. Experienced nothing in life. They know everything. What's this? So my Rebbe says, what does it say in the Haggadah? He says, love and speech. So my Rebbe said, let's take it homiletically. Smack him. Give him a punch. He said, what? Why? Well, according to your thesis, if I feel like doing something, I should do something. So I feel like hitting you, so I'm going to hit you. That's what it is, right? This is what I want to do, I'm going to do it. So that's what the avoda is. The avoda is that I learn how to control myself on an individual level, on a national level, on a big level. That's what Pesach is about. That's the first message of Seder night, therefore, is to do with control. Matzah is our food. That's why matzah is a great food. It's a great food. I'm not going to spend too much time. Well, the next thing I want to tell you is at the beginning of the Haggadah, it says Kadesh Urchatz, correct? Kadesh Urchatz? You got a song for that? Kadesh Urchatz? Kadesh Urchatz. That's not the English tune, that's the American tune. Kadesh Urchatz. No. Kadesh Urchatz. No. Okay. All right. So do it like Jeremy, okay. Okay, that wasn't bad. We'll do it again in a minute. As follows. So isn't that a strange lashon, Kadesh Rachatz? Don't you wash before your Kadesh? Shouldn't it be Rachatz Kadesh? You wash first and then you're Kadosh. You go to the mikveh and then you're Kadosh. So what's Kadesh Rachatz? What's Kadesh Rachatz? So Pshat is just the order of the evening, right? It's just the order of the evening. Kadesh Rachatz, Karpas. You need to wash before Karpas. The Shem Mishmuel says like this. Shem Mishmuel is a Sogachov. Sogachov is Karsk. The Sogachov says, Am Yisrael is kadosh even if they don't wash. There's an inherent kadusha to Am Yisrael. Kadesh, you're holy anyway. You have to wash, you have to put the effort in, but you are kadosh. Am Yisrael is kadosh. Am Yisrael is kadosh. I think I told you this, but I had to say it so much for me. I think I told you we were speaking before Pesach, we were speaking before Purim, before we went down south. We were speaking at home, and And it came up that I saw it afterwards, that they had this big Buddha in Nova, massive Buddha there. And someone around the table mentioned they had a Buddha there, whatever. And then we're in that little Migunit, and she's playing these videos that I'd never seen before. I know you'd seen them, but I'd never seen them before. And I heard them screaming out, Shema Yisrael. That's incredible. I can't get over it. It's incredible. You know, 2 hours before, people are dancing to this nonsense. When push comes to shove, they say Shema Yisrael. That's massive. It's just massive. They didn't do any trance. They said Shema Yisrael. People who aren't connected with Shabbos, they said Shema Yisrael. So Kadesh. So another point we're making on this night is the inherent Kedusha of Am Yisrael, the honor, the privilege it is to be a member of Am Yisrael. The Rachatz is what we have to do, but there's a Kedusha to Am Yisrael. That's Kedusha Levi. Kadesh or Chatz. First of all, we should know we're Kadosh. Am Yisrael is Kadosh. The Karpas, I'm not going to repeat again because I spoke to you about it, but I have to tell you that I'm losing sleep on this now. A lot of sleep on it. It's bothering me a lot. I don't lose sleep on the Iranians. I really don't. or Hezbollah. I don't lose sleep. There's nothing for me to lose sleep about. I can't do anything about it. I lose a lot of sleep about this inner fighting, which has just come back again. It's like everyone was speaking after the 7th of October, we learned the lesson. The rhetoric is worse than it was before. And it's bad. We're in a bad way because of that, not because of Iran, not because of Mr. Biden. It's nothing to do with him. And therefore the Karpas message, which I'm not going to repeat because I've spoken to you about it, the Karpas message of this, the need for Achdut in Am Yisrael, is critical for us, this need for tolerance and being together. And it's so interesting when you're in certain places that nothing divides us. You know, I was speaking in the Ramah Shul the other day, Rav Asher Weiss walks in with a whole group of Haredi, Mamash Kacha, they all came to hear me. They didn't come to hear me, okay. But there was so much friendliness and cooperation. And it's just not there. It's a problem. It's a real problem. We saw immediate achdut after what happened. It's just got back to where it was now. And it's all very political. And so that's another point of the evening, right? If the achdut of Am Yisrael, so the kedusha of Am Yisrael, the control of Am Yisrael, the achdut of Am Yisrael. So the next thing I want to talk to you about is a Seder plate. What a pointless operation. What a pointless plate. Let me explain. You'll be the same, I'm sure. You've learned the Mishnah Berurah Hilchot Pesach. You go home. You go to the house that you live in the exile temporarily. And you, according to the Mishnah Berurah, you have to have 5 kazetim on Seder night. 5 kazetim. That's the Mishnah Berurah. And that you're a flipped out yeshiva boy. 5 kazetim. 5 kazetim of matzah. Okay? And you've got to eat the kazetim in a certain time period. So you put your watch on the table, and all the irreligious people around the table are now going to have a show where little animal David is going to munch 5 kazetim of matzah each 2 minutes at a time. And it's going to come dripping down your face, and you're going to throw down 4 cups of wine. Your stomach is simply saying, oh my God, it's Seder night. And you're going to spend the rest of the meal in the bathroom until Afikam, where you're going to come back and eat another kazait or 2, perhaps 2 kazaitin. And, and so you have a lot. So if there are 20 people around Seder night, you have big Seder nights? We always had a very big Seder night. My mum's house was where all the irreligious people came. It was great fun. Great fun. Best memories ever I have of Seder night. Great English humor around the Seder table. A yeshiva boy comes home with 2 books full of questions. And then Uncle Barry turns around to my dad and says, what did you send him to yeshiva for? He doesn't know anything. He keeps asking questions. And then they got on football and arguing about this and that. And I'm looking at my watch, right, trying desperately to get to the latest time possible because I've got to go to shul tomorrow morning and say we finished at 3. Okay, and we never finished later than 11:30. It's the most embarrassing moment, you know, to go to shul the next day. So I just turned it into a joke. No, we haven't finished yet. I just came to chakra, so it's still in the middle. So to my kids' anxiety, our sedan take a long time. When we do it with the debos, it can be 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, Mama, she, so I, my kids have had enough of that now. But that's what Seder night was. Ladies, if you have a Seder plate, what's on the Seder plate? Matzah? Marl. So let's say I come down with my stuff and everything. I have 5 kazaitim. I have 3 kazaitim. A kazait that lechumah is 2/3 of a machine matzah. Okay, lechumah. Okay, so I lechumah. Okay, I can take a ham matzah, half of it, 2 or 3 kazaitim, and there are 20 people around the table. They all have to have 2 or 3 kazaitim. That's 60 matzahs. Or whatever, 60 masses have to break. So there's no room on the Seder plate for 60 masses. If I have maror, and I have to have a kazait of maror, and maror isn't horseradish, maror is really lettuce, a little bit of horseradish you can put in, but lettuce is because it's gradual maror, it's not immediate ramor. Horseradish is immediate. When I first went to my wife's house, first place in my wife's house, my brother-in-law was a 15-year-old, and a 15-year-old boy, and you know what 15-year-old boys are like. So he hid inside my lettuce like 3 big spoonfuls of horseradish, and I bit into my lettuce. Side of lettuces, but the side of lettuces, I've got 20 people around the table. I've got a whole field on there. And charoset doesn't have to be that much, but so a Seder plate doesn't work, right? I've got 50 matzahs part on the Seder plate with 25 pieces of lettuce and a whole mound of horseradish and charoset. So what's the point of having a Seder plate? So I'm sure your mother does, or let's be equal, your father does too. They keep most of the maror in the kitchen, most of the matzah in the kitchen, and they bring in the Seder plate is simply a symbolic Seder plate. This is what we're going to do. But it's not a practical Seder plate. So then my question is, if the Seder plate is symbolic and not practical, what is the point? So why have it at all? If I've got 2 fields worth of lettuce in my kitchen and I've got 5 boxes of matzah in my kitchen, I'll just bring it out when I need it. But come on, why do I need to have a plate at all? The plate is not practical. What is the symbol? So I came to the conclusion it's an important symbol. Again, we're looking for messages, national messages on Yom HaAtzma'ut. And the word I came to when I'm looking at the Seder plate is perspective. Is that when you look at a Seder plate, you're a member of the Jewish people, then as a Jewish person, you have a bit of charoset, you have a bit of maror, you have matzah, you have a shamban, you have an egg. It's all-inclusive being a Jew. It's not just good. I don't know whether you know the halacha, but you cannot convert to Judaism at the time of Mashiach or the time of Malchut Shomah. We don't accept converts when it's easy to be a Jew. If you want to convert to Judaism, you have to convert in the hard times. So a Jew has to be aware of the hard times. I told you the Rebbe Nachman's story about Maror's perspective. That's life as well, ladies, is trying to put things in perspective, try and understand where things are or where you are, and try and understand your position. That's why, for those of you on Zeminar, when we left Auschwitz, I asked everyone to take a stone from Auschwitz and take it home with them. I did it this week as well. I was there on Monday and I took a stone. And every time you're having a hard time, you look at the stone and it puts it in perspective, because whatever hard it is for us, it's really incomparable to what it was for them. And perspective is an important part of being a Jew, is having that perspective. When Jews live today, they keep saying, we've never had it so bad. I said, are you joking? Can you really say that statement? Do you know anything about Buchenwald or Bergen-Belsen or Ravensbrück? Jews with an army living in a country? So we're fighting. We never had it so bad. Are you joking? We never had it so good. We're just getting a bit of a taste of what people have had for 2,000 years. You don't like it much. It's not a very nice taste, but, you know, I don't want to be anywhere else in the predicament that I'm in. So that's perspective. But now I want to ask you the following question. What do these people have in common? Dr. Miguel Cardona, Gillian Keegan, Marlena Hirayama, Tony Cook and Andy Motshekar. Do you recognize any of those names? Australians, you don't know who Tony Cook is? English people, who is Gillian Keegan? You don't know who Gillian Keegan is? Jill! Tony Cook, Perth, you don't know who Tony Cook is? Sydney, Tony Cook. America, Dr. Miguel El Cardona. You don't know who these people are, do you? Every single one of them is the State Secretary of Education. You've got no idea who they are, what they do. All of these people are the State Secretaries of Education, or were in previous years. I just couldn't find them anywhere. I don't know. I couldn't find them. They just showed pictures without names. But Dr. Miguel Cardona is the American Secretary of State for Education, or was. Gillian Keegan, Jill, is the English Secretary of State for Education. Marlene Hirayama is a Swiss education minister. See what I do in my spare time on Wikipedia. Tony Cook is the Australian Minister of Education. What do you mean? You didn't even know who he was. And Angie Motshekar is the South African Minister of Education. Ladies, in the countries that we come from, if you want to be a successful Minister of State, you have to be the State Secretary, the Foreign Minister, or the Defence Minister, or the Chancellor, the person in charge of money. If your portfolio is education, no one even knows who you are. In Israel, to this day, the Minister of Education is one of the most important portfolios in the cabinet. This entire evening is about education. What does education have to do with independence? Education is critical because there's no point having a past, and there's no point having a present if there is no future. And the children are the future. Now, we know from the Haggadah that Rabbi Akiva was up all night, right, until they had to tell him it's time for Kriyat Shema. But there's another part of the Gemara that talks about the fact that Rabbi Akiva used to play with the kids. He used to play with nuts on the floor with the kids throughout Seder night. And Kanireh, this, we were up all night until Kriyat Shema, was the second Seder that he held. The main Seder with the kids, he finished quite early because he wanted to keep the kids engaged. And therefore, he was talking to the kids until they went to bed. And then he stayed up with the other Chachamim, and they stayed up all night. The point is to keep the kids at the table. And I'm sure this was the same with you at home, that your parents like teaching Manishtana for like the whole year. Sing Manishtana. Sing Manishtana. Manishtana. And then your dad writes you the Divrei Torah, and then innocently says, when you get to Vehisha Amda, did you make it Dvar Torah for Vehisha Amda? Like your bat mitzvah speech, right? That you wrote all on your own, in your own time. And then you come up with this beautiful, and the dad's sitting there with such pride, but he wrote it. And he prepared it. Spent ages preparing Seder night with your kids. Every kid has to prepare a certain amount of things for Seder night. Rav Hirsch says this. Listen to this, what Rav Hirsch says. The sentence says, Hagala kolam abel sapeh hareza meshubach. The more you speak, it's more mishubach. Rav Hirsch says, what are you talking about? The whole thing is a setup. The whole evening is framed. You know, you made it up before you started. So what's kolam abel sapeh? Rav Hirsch says as follows. Listen very carefully. He says, if you put the effort into Seder night, the same effort you put into Seder night with your kids, you put every night with your kids, then Hareza Mishubach. Not just for Seder night. You have to educate your kids. The whole evening is about education. The whole evening is about education. And if your son's a Chacham, you've got to find the right words for Chacham. If he's a Rasha, he's a Rasha, Shino Del Shol, at Petachlo, someone doesn't know. There's always something that interests someone. It's a challenge sometimes. If we weren't under such pressure in the Midrashah because we got such little time here, I would enjoy the challenge. I once had a girl, it happens to be she was an MTA girl, but she like sat throughout the year with kind of this dead look on her face. So they were about to go to Poland, the MTA, and I wasn't going that year with them. And I said to Jeremy, I said, something's going to get her in Poland. I want to know. Phone me the minute something gets her. And it didn't. I couldn't believe it. Like, she went to Poland for a week. And that's the challenge. It's a fascinating challenge, right, to interest someone. You've got to find everyone is interesting at Rav Soloveitchik. Said there's no such thing as an atheist. Everyone believes in something. You've got to find what that belief is and develop that belief. The whole evening is about education, because the future of the Jewish people depends on education. If the Jewish people aren't interested in being a Jew, it's finished. It's finished, because the next generation, that's the most inspiring element of the last months, is to see how believing our young people are, what they're prepared to do for their country. You don't do that if you don't believe. Most of your peers can't do what Israeli boys and girls are doing. They can't do it. And they can go, they can wear their hats in Brooklyn and make fun of the boys here with tattoos, but they're fighting for Am Yisrael. They're fighting, they're putting their bodies on the line for Am Yisrael. They're not just learning Gemara, they're putting their bodies on the line. They turn their noses up and say, ah, they've done that, they've done this, and that, and they're not from, and they're this, and they've got tattoos, and they look like Goy, and they look like Goy, and they fight like Shimshon. They fight like Shimshon, like Yehuda, like Yahushua. And that's very inspiring for me. You know, this belief, it was what I loved about Miluim. I did Miluim with Chilonim, not with Datiim. And the ideology, the belief that these people had, it's incredible. I had such great experiences with them. I was once driving a Jeep on Rosh Hashanah, and we had to drive on Rosh Hashanah. I was driving a Jeep on Rosh Hashanah. And I was a bit sad because it was Rosh Hashanah, and I had these four big bulky guys in the back. And your Hebrew is good enough to answer. Hey, I'm at that fourth. So I said, no, it's Rosh Hashanah. It's Rosh Hashanah. Oh, no, Sameach et David. So I had this group of these like five soldiers in the back singing, Be'wash Hashanah, Be'wash Hashanah, Be'wash Hashanah, Be'wash Hashanah, Be'wash Hashanah. This is Am Yisrael, right? This is the Kedusha of Am Yisrael, and the education, the inspiration that they believe. Because if you don't believe, there's nothing. The whole evening is about education. The whole evening, like, I never showed you this when you came to my house. I should have showed it to you. When my kids were small, I made a board game which is this big. I got this massive piece of blue card, and I bought an art scroll Haggadah, cut out the pictures, and made a chutes and ladders, snakes and ladders for the kids. They had to get from Yitziat Mitzrayim to Matan Torah. And if they landed on Maror, they went backwards. If they land on Charoset, they go forwards. And if they get Korban Pesach, they get a present. And I had five levels of questions. Level one, you moved according to the level of question. Harder, easier, questions on Hilchot Pesach, questions on Minhagim, questions on Sukkim, Ezer Perek. I had a whole... Ladies, every single one of my kids stayed up all of Seder night. That was my aim. They stayed up all of Seder. I never ate in the meal because I wasn't hungry, because I had a bit of a war taking place between the wine and the matzah in my stomach. And so I never really ate. So I used to sit on the floor with my kids and play the board game. And Erev Pesach, I would buy all these little rubbish gifts, you know, the one shekel gifts. And they loved it. I had this big bag, so put your hand in, get a gift out. And we did that all night. That's what we did all night. And the education of the children, and it never ends. Education is just, that's what we're here for, right? It's to educate our kids through example. And by being with them, and the definition of education changes. When your kid gets older, you're not telling them what to do. You're accompanying them. You have to be with them, be by their side. You can't tell them what to do anymore. You've told them what to do. They're doing it or they're not doing it. Now you have to be with them. And being with them is so much fun. I can't tell you. It was really worth it yesterday. It was so much fun. You know, you go there, you sit there. Shashiva was there. We sat there. My wife brought like loads of berekas to the Shiva boys. We sat there. The Rosh Hashiva spoke, and I spoke, and my wife spoke, and your son did his seal. That's a fantastic thing, right? When your son does a seal, seal shas, seal shas and gemara. So it's a big deal. And but I tell him to do a seal shas. I made him to assume Shas Mishnayos for his bar mitzvah. All three of them, I learned Mishnayos for the bar mitzvah. But I never did anything after that. I learned them on the Shabbos, but I'm not very good at that. But he did it on his own. It's all his own thing. If we can't educate, there's nothing. Isn't it? It's significant. But most important, the whole evening is about education. The whole evening is about education. And that's for you to educate yourselves. And it's number one, you're a parent. You never want to have a kid. There's so much more I could do here, but you're going to get antsy, even though it's not free evening. But just maybe two more points. I'll tell you a story. I had a student here, right at the beginning, one of my first American students. Her name was Annie Kadosh, who, of course, was Annie Kadosh. I did that all day. I still do it when she walks into the Midrash. She came in this year, Ani Kadosh. She has kids on Cheru Lumi now, but Ani Kadosh. And Ani Kadosh has a husband, who is he's fanatical Zionist. He told me a story once. At the end of the Seder night, everyone stands up and sings the Shana Haba B'Yerushalayim. So he told me a story. He used to work in America. He worked in one of these hotels that Rabbi Weinberger doesn't like, that people will go to hotels for Pesach or whatever. One of these hotels. And it was regular people every year. And they come to the end of the Seder and they start singing Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim. And he's sitting there like this. And one of the altar kakas comes up to him and says, well, join in Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim. So he turns around to him and he says, tell me, have you made your booking here for next year? He says, of course, we love it. He says, what are you singing for? What a load of rubbish. You don't even mean it. You don't even mean it. Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim. You don't even mean it. You're coming here next year. You booked for Florida next year. You've already booked. So what do you mean, Lashana Haba? You don't even mean it. You don't mean what you're saying. Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim. You don't mean it. And that's how we finish the Seder. Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim. I hope that with what you've experienced, it will mean a lot more to you. I hope. Give me a show of hands. I have no idea how many of you are here for Pesach? Not bad. MTA, you're not going anywhere. So, ladies, you should have a hug. Also, I want to say one more thing. I'm sorry, I want to say one more thing. I said it to you before Sukkot, but MTA weren't here, and I no doubt you weren't listening. You were getting so much information there anyway. What is so challenging about Ben Azmanim? It's so challenging. It's the first serious period of time that you're not in Midrasha since you came to Midrasha. And it's an extremely important time to check what you've done. Not how many prakim you've learned, to check. So if you go back to where you came from and you're doing the same as you were doing before you came here, you're in trouble. You just wasted your time. If you go back there and nothing's changed at all, you're just doing exactly the same as you're doing last August in England and wherever you were, in America, in Switzerland, wherever you were. If you're doing the same thing, then it should be ringing alarm bells. What was for me when I went back for Pesach, for me, I realized what I had to do when I came back afterwards. It was very, very defined for me. And it was the time that I came back afterwards was a bit longer than what you've got, because we used to say till Tisha B'Av, it was like 3 months, but it's a bit longer. It was very, very much Ma'uti. The next month that we have here is an experiential Zman, more than it is a learning Zman. We have learning, but there are events every 3 days, and they're going to be very different events this year, right? We have Yom HaShoah, the day you come back. We bring you back early so we can do Yom HaShoah together. We have Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaSmol, which is going to be a different thing altogether this year. We have Lag Ba'Omer, Yom Yerushalayim, and Shavuot. We only have a 5.5 week term with the Northern Hemisphere. And with the Southern Hemisphere, we have another few weeks after that. We had a long winter term. It's just everything's late. But it is time. Honestly, ladies, life is about looking inwards And you go back, you see if you see where you are. And if there's been any kind of move, I don't want to be thought of as a university here. We're not learning academically. We're learning with the purpose of facilitating improvement, each person in their own place. And it's an important thing to look in. We have to land on our feet when we come back. It's Mamashia. I only know because of the Omer, right? The end of the year is a couple of days after Shavuot, then you come back 8 days after the Omer, so that means we've got 6 weeks, right? It's not like hard to work out. So we don't have much time. Obviously, if you have any questions whatsoever, you can feel free to WhatsApp me, the halachic questions. I will try and visit MTA. It'll be very near me, MTA, you're in Migdal Oz, correct? Yeah. He spoke to me already about going there, and I will try and visit Torani. But it's a bit further away, so it just depends on, say it, right? Yeah, okay, ladies.